Testing. Ooh, I'm testing. Yeah, yeah.
Boom. I'm getting really good at DJing, by the
way.
I'm really like.
Oh, I saw you on a radio thing or whatever.
Yeah, I have my own radio show now.
That's fucking
pretty
sick.
Cool.
Do you have to like mix for it?
Yeah, I have to make my own mixes. Anyway, this is Suck Off.
Oh, fuck.
It's every time.
I was still responding to text messages.
I'm sorry.
Text messages.
Oh,
I was funny. I'm talking into a gay sock right now.
Yeah. There's no other way of putting it.
I don't have a pop filter. I have an LGBT sock.
Yeah, I need to order a new pop filter.
Just get a new LGBT sock.
Right. Yeah. Dedicated to, yeah. I don't know where the other sock is.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of sucks.
Love loses.
Yeah. Welcome to Suck
Off.
This is
Lion in the Meadow,
which is a great title for this episode.
It's really pretty.
We were talking about how it's kind of a snooze fest. This one.
Okay, it both is and isn't a snooze fest.
Yeah.
I think I need to be in the right mood for this episode, and I just wasn't. Because a lot of really good stuff happens. I have no complaints about the episode.
Yeah.
It's just like...
It plays it very straight.
You gotta be ready for a lot of talking, and I was not this morning.
A lot of talking, and I would argue, a lot of not talking.
A lot of not talking. several moments.
Several scenes where there is nothing being said.
Right!
Just... kind of the best part.
Yeah. So I do appreciate that. Like, it's a great episode to talk about. It's like just so good to analyze. However, you know, if you're not in the mood, it's like.
The premise of the episode. No, what were you gonna say?
No.
Well, I was gonna say the premise of the episode is that the shareholder meeting is coming up. The big shareholder, I don't know the terms, Josh, Aronson, I want to say.
His name's Josh.
Adrian Brody is like a big player here. And
is he a famous actor?
Yes, very famous. He is like 4% or something, and they need to win him over, and he's unsure with everything happening right now. So they want Logan and Kendall to kind of come together in one room, meet up with him in his house out in wherever that is.
Fucking nowhere.
And... yeah, basically convince him to stay on board.
That was so businessy. I feel like I usually give that business recap. Look at you go.
I couldn't like say any of the business words because I don't know them, but I was like, they got to go to an island and say it.
Yeah, because he is just not confident that after all of this like Kendall bullshit, that there will be a successor that is worthy.
Right.
And so he's like, basically, I mean, he says this at the very end, you guys work for me. You guys are literally existing to make money for me. That is how a public shareholder relationship works.
So glad he said that,
Yeah, it's like, I love when people say that. When they're just like, this is all about money and you people are making it personal and it's making me uncomfortable.
Well, it was kind of like, you guys think I'm some like schmuck who got lucky at a casino or something. And it's like, no, you work for, you depend on me and
Because honestly, even if that is true, like, now they do... You know, they do work for his fucking 4%.
Yeah, it's like they're there because they need him. And Logan treats it like... Logan was pissing me off this episode because he just kept saying the same, like, Logan, like, empty words that he always does where he's like, we'll come out on top. And
I need to say something.
Uh-oh.
And you maybe need to cut it because I don't know. Because it's a spoiler for maybe, like, an episode or two from now.
Okay.
It's not, like, a major spoiler.
Okay.
But it is revealed an episode or two from now that Kendall, who was in charge of Logan's medications... is no longer in charge of his medications. And Logan suffers a pretty big health crisis, like, in an episode or two because of it. And it's like, to me, I complained either last season or two seasons ago that, like, they introduced that Logan was having a health issue and then he acted erratically. And, like, that was kind of blah, whatever. But I feel like they did a much better job this season of, it's slowly building over time. And, like, you're kind of watching him decay and you're like, God, he's really losing it. And then, like, you get that reveal in an episode or two that, like, nobody's been giving him the fucking medication.
Right.
So I feel like it's very that.
Totally.
I don't know if that's something I can say in this episode, though.
No, you can say that in this episode, feel like. Because it is one of those things where it's, like, it's one of those succession story plots that they just kind of abandon after season one.
Right.
Similar to Kendall's kids and his family. Like, that just feels like it got thrown out and now they just, like, FaceTime about the bunnies.
Yeah.
but, yeah, no, it's, I feel like this season they finally bring back the fact that, yeah, on top of all this, Logan is not well with his health. So, yeah, it's a big part.
Like a standard, also 80-year-old man probably needs a lot of medications to live. Like,
that's
not abnormal, but he did recently suffer, like within the last year, suffered a massive health issue.
Yep.
Like,
anyway.
This is crazy.
Yeah. I
want to talk about the beginning of the episode.
Please, please, please.
Where Logan wants to bring Greg in. You know, like, yeah, he doesn't want Greg to have this outside legal counsel. He also wants Greg's story to be straight. Mm-hmm. And so when Greg enters the room, we're like, Logan's got this, you know, 100-year-old scotch and, like, these beautiful wines. Greg's like, can I have a rum and coke?
A rum and coke.
There was, I have a story to tell you. There was this kid at the bar recently, and Christian asked him for his ID. Christian's, he also works at the bar. Christian's, like, fucking 40. Yeah. Asked this kid for his ID, and he does not provide it. Mm-hmm. And Christian's like, well, you need your ID to drink. And the kid gets so mad. And he's like, where's the curly haired girl? Like, she gets me drinks all the time, which is not true. Also, I don't have curly hair. He's talking about another bartender. So then the kid leaves, goes to the Walgreens, obviously across the street, comes back, and then he orders two Cokes. And it's clear. Oh, because the kid also ordered a rum and Coke.
That's so funny.
Kid comes back, orders two Cokes, and then Christian serves the Cokes, and then follows him, and the kid walks to the bathroom, like, with the two Cokes in his hand. And then he looks at Christian, and Christian goes, I'll hold those for you.
That's amazing.
Because clearly the kid had wanted to go to the bathroom and put rum into the Coke.
Holy shit, that's embarrassing.
It's so funny.
I hope it was the clown bathroom, too.
Oh, God.
Get your ass in the clown bathroom.
Where you belong. I'll hold those for you.
And did he?
Yeah, he gave him the Coke when he held the Cokes.
Kid's just downing rum in the bathroom.
Desperately trying to feel an ounce of, like,
anything.
Forgetting my feelings.
God. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
So Greg ordering a rum and Coke really, like.
And Logan's just, like, can we get Greg a Coca-Cola?
It's a quintessential kid drink.
Yeah.
It's so good.
And then, but yeah, you say that, but then, like, he's sipping and he's like, it's a man's drink. Yeah.
Oh, it's a strong one. It's pretty strong.
And Logan is like, what do you want so I can take you on? And, mm-hmm. and Greg's like, what can I have? And he's like, that is not how this works. It basically is like, go think this over, mm-hmm. and then come back to me, and I will have you on.
Yeah.
To which Greg, I'm just going to follow this.
Please.
Because Greg is like, we see later in the neuron spore scene, which we'll talk, yes. we should just talk about it now.
Get it out of the open, get the stuff out here. This episode is the reason why I started watching Succession.
Yes.
For just that clip alone.
When that clip made the rounds on Twitter, it was... But Greg, before we get into that, he's like, maybe I'll go into parks. I feel like that's my place, and I'll be operations director and run the theme parks and live like a comfortable life. And
I'll do Buffalo Bright Star Buffalo. Yeah. That way I can go home on weekends.
Yeah, yeah. And it's honestly, it sounds like it. And I'm assuming that's what he pitched to Logan, because then he does eventually, jumping ahead here, side with Logan in the end. Which is a devastating blow for Kendall.
Yeah.
Even though it's just, the way Logan put it, little Greggy.
Yeah,
it's like
they brought up Greg like three times in their conversation. It's like, why does that matter?
I feel like, well, Logan, I'm still confused on what exactly the leverage is, but Logan was like, you have a little leverage.
For Greg?
Yeah, yeah.
Greg has leverage in that, like, he still works for Waystar and he's still like... is in good graces with
Kendall.
He's got
Ewan, which I don't know if that matters at the end of the day.
Like, he could potentially sway Ewan in the shareholder vote.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's, like, working with Ewan on legal counsel, and this whole issue is, like, Greg, stop getting Ewan's legal counsel. Use ours.
Right.
So if he doesn't cooperate, theoretically, Greg could have information about the company that, like, gets out or whatever, and just, like, could fuck the whole thing up.
Yeah. Logan has also been talking to Tom, and Tom knows what information Greg knows and has.
Oh.
So who's to say how much Logan knows about what Greg knows?
Honestly, like, that is possible.
Like, that's, it's...
I don't think Tom would give up his own position like that, though, because that would imply that he and Greg have been, like, canoodling.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
could not look good on him, so... I could see it either way.
Yeah. So anyway.
So we're in this...
Neuron Sporus. Got it. I'm going to let you take the reins here, even though it's so good.
You can take the reins. Why am I taking the reins?
Well, it's just like, it's the most out in the open it's ever been for Tom and Greg with their relationship.
Yeah.
Please, though.
The IP that Greg
the
is
IP,
familiar with.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with that IP.
Is the story of Nero and Sporus, this ancient Grecian whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Nero has a wife, Poppaea, and... I guess he pushes her down the stairs,
yeah.
castrates Sporus, and makes him dress up in his wife's clothes and marries him instead.
Right.
And then Tom, like, you know, sits on Greg's desk, tilts his head and looks fondly at him and said, I'd castrate you and marry you in a heartbeat.
It's amazing. And Greg doesn't really know how to respond.
Yeah, Greg like smiles, looks down, and goes, are you okay, man?
And then immediately after that, Tom's like, wrestle me, Greg. Or tackle me.
Let's get a chicken fight. Like chicken. Yeah. Greg's like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
It was a joke, Greg. Yeah. You're incredibly hard to riff with. That's an obstacle in your career.
Knocks over the coat rack and walks out.
Classic.
And Greg's like, come on, man.
What's your read on the scene?
It is, I've thought about this scene more than most in the show.
Yeah.
And it's still, I don't know if I'm overcomplicating it. Mm. It's just a really, I mean, the Nero and Sporus thing is pretty obvious. It's just like, yeah, Shiv is the wife. And like, Tom would give everything up to have Greg. I feel like that's self-explanatory. But then he immediately wants to like wrestle him. I don't know what, as a way of asserting his power over Greg in some way. And then I feel like Greg denying it, asserting his own power and like authority, or what's the word? I don't know.
Because Tom describes Sporus as a slave boy.
Yeah. Which
Greg does not want to be a slave boy.
No, I think this is a, that's kind of what kicks off the Nero and Sporus thing, is that like Tom asks about this and he's like, you're going to be living in a magical kingdom working in a theme park and I'm going to be down in the dungeon giving blowjobs.
Yeah. For phone cards. Yeah. That's how he does it. Sucking off ogres' phone cards.
Yeah. And I feel like it's a rare moment where Greg is in a way better position than Tom and like has the guts to like say no to Tom and like doesn't really need Tom anymore. Mm. And I think it's that kind of like sends Tom into this like episode in the end of the scene where he like yells at him, knocks over the coat rack. It's like, I feel like Tom just feels very alone in this.
Which he I think very is lonely. My read.
He lost Greg is basically the end of it. Right as he like basically confesses his love to him.
I'd castrate you and marry you in a heartbeat. The way I read it, first of all, is just like umbrella, mental decay.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Clearly like the guilt, the like terror of going to prison, eating away at it.
Right.
Like that, you know. A lot of his erratic behavior can in many ways be explained by his mental decay.
Yeah.
The actual I'd castrate you and marry you in a heartbeat, I feel like it's like he does feel this loyalty to Greg because Shiv has never once been loyal. She doesn't care that he's going to jail.
Yeah.
She doesn't listen to his problems.
Yeah.
She refuses to... Oh, even like in this episode, she gives him orders. Maybe it was last episode. I can't remember. She gives him orders to like tell Ravenhead to have this spin on the president.
Yeah.
He's like, you are not in charge of me, though. And she's right. Like, well, I am.
Yeah.
And just like, and then he gets chewed out by Ravenhead. It was this episode because that's when he comes to Greg's office. He gets chewed out by Ravenhead. Again, another scene that's like clearly important in Tom's journey that we don't even see
because
he's still just such an afterthought.
I'm glad we didn't even, I'm like, I can't take more Tom L.
That's pretty brutal.
I didn't want to see it happen.
So like he's gotten all this flack from Shiv and he's, you know, this little slave boy for whom Tom is demoted into this mailroom closet thing. Is his only semblance of human connection left.
Yeah.
So I think, like, yeah, I think it was meant to be not necessarily romantic, because every single interaction they have is homoerotic in some way.
Yeah.
But it is the most heartfelt, I think.
Yeah.
In this moment of complete isolation.
Totally.
Very desperate.
Yeah, I don't read it as romantic as the other Tom-Greg moments.
Right.
Just because Greg seems to be on another planet. Like, he's not at all there with Tom here. And that's what makes his, like, breakdown so much
unrequited
worse.
Love.
Yeah, it's a fascinating scene.
Yeah,
it's a great scene. Because like you were going, like Tom then goes to Shiv after the whole Ravenhead thing and is like, well, he has this great bit about like the wine and the cold wine that we have when we get home, and he's like, well, we can make wine and there's toilet wine in prison. But he's like, there's no temperature to the wine, there's no fine wines in prison.
He's having a breakdown. Also, they're sitting like in her glass office and like they're sitting next to each other.
Yeah.
And like she kind of reaches out to touch his hand and then like recoils.
Someone walks by.
Right. Because she doesn't want to like be seen interacting with him romantically at the office.
Yeah.
Real.
No, yeah. It's like there's that. And then also when Kendall comes into the office the episode earlier and he can't really like. Kendall like puts his arms on him and he can't really reciprocate. And it's like Tom is just it has no connection to anyone.
Yeah.
This entire season. It's, you're right, it is so Kendall season two. It's like unable to like show anything to anyone because no one wants to touch
you. He's alone in his grief. He's alone in his, well, yeah, he's Terminal Tom. He's
Terminal Tom. We always talk about, and this is, I brought this up back when this season was airing, but everyone was talking about how it is Roman season, which it is in a lot of ways, but it is very much Tom's season.
Yeah.
Well, that is made more clear later on, but yeah, it just sucks because then like Shiv gets a call from Logan like halfway through this conversation and Tom's just like, okay, and like leaves. It's like she does not give a fuck about him.
No.
Anyway.
Any hoozles. This is the episode where Shiv goes through her like, you know, her own decay of power because everybody tells her to her face, you're not in charge of me. And then Connor shows up.
Yep, yep.
I love Connor.
Me too.
He's not had a bad moment this season. You know, like sometimes it's unwatchable for Kendall. It's unwatchable for Shiv, etc. I never find Connor unwatchable.
Yeah,
I'd be tuned in. He is so emotional, and he makes everything the most personal out of all the siblings. Mm-hmm. He's able to take Shiv down in less than 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he wants a job, because he wants a job before he becomes president, so he can
have a job. Something at ATN. And she's like, we'll get you something on...
Gourmando.
Such a funny... They have the funniest fictional names in this show. And she's like, you can have a wine tasting show. And he takes offense to that, obviously, because it's like, bro, even if we don't, if I agree, we should give Connor, I'm like, fuck you, Shiv. Like, that's such a...
It was pretty damn accurate, though. I'm sorry. It's so...
Also...
She read him.
I would love to watch that show.
She chewed. I would totally watch Connor Roy.
Watch that show. And yeah, he kind of tells her, like, you're not the boss of me. Like, that's kind of the attitude.
And you are so clearly not the boss of everyone. Like, you're ostensibly the president of domestic operations, but you just have, like, you just have a suit and you work here. Like,
You're
holding coffee every single scene you're in. When do you actually respond to emails?
Yeah.
Like...
And the same thing kind of happens when was that Ravenhead who she talks to? Not...
It is Ravenhead.
Where she's, like, or kind of, like, point at maybe the president is losing it or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he's like, who are you to tell me this? And it's like, and she like kind of acts like she put him in place, but doesn't really. Mm. Which really, it speaks a lot to like how she treats Tom when she asks him to deal with stuff, because it's like he's the only... Oh, dude, that's so great. Because yeah, he's kind of the only one she can like effectively put her power over.
Whoa.
And then Tom goes to her and is like, well, I dealt with Greg. And she's like, oh, great. So you did that. And he's like, to him, Greg's the only person he can really put his power over. It doesn't really work in the end. Anyway. Whoa. I just think it's funny that the two of them are actually not that powerful at the end.
No.
They're so bad at it. Anyway. Sorry.
Slay.
Josh.
Yeah, we're talking about every single, like, main thing in the episode, which is so funny of us.
Well, the Josh thing is, like, pretty... They're kind of, like, running in circles, that whole thing. I mean, it's a great part of the episode, but...
It is kind of the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
But Kendall shows up, and he shows up before Logan, which is, like, a whole whatever.
Separate helicopters, yeah.
He's clearly, like, friends with Josh on some level. Like, they're kind of the same age, like, whatever. Kendall goes... I have a big nervous breakdown for my 40th birthday. You should come.
I didn't
catch that?
No, I didn't remember that. That's
literally what he says.
That's so funny. That's so funny.
He says he should come, and Josh is like, who's coming? And he's like, you, me, and Henry Kissinger. I don't care. It's everybody. It is so good. Those three lines.
Yeah.
Mwah, that's perfectly calibrated for Christian Borky to love.
Right. I love when Kendall shows up and it's kind of like a blah, 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 and your daughter's sick or whatever. And they kind of brush past it.
Her ass was not sick.
I was just like trying to read how Logan introduces himself and how Kendall introduces himself. And it's like, first of all, when Logan walks in, Josh basically like cuts Kendall off like mid-sentence and like pats him on the, like, okay, buddy. And Logan is like, how's your daughter? And it's like immediately just a lot warmer.
Yeah.
It's weird to describe Logan as warm. I don't know if that's the right word, but like more like...
No,
tapped into that conversation than he was Kendall.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's a more powerful presence. Mm-hmm. And it's like the most awkward hug ever, where it's like, I feel like we should hug kind of vibe. Like, we don't want to, but I feel like we should. And
because quite literally, their only job is to act like they will at some point reconcile.
Yeah.
And like, you can just act. But neither one of them is really able to act because it, like, on some level, doesn't advance their personal position. So they have to juggle this tension of like, well, we really need this guy to think that we're buddies.
Yeah.
But like, I also, it's kind of laid out to Kendall towards the end of the episode. Josh is like, listen, if your papers are all garbage, then like, you are building an artificial thing and like, you're an asshole. If your papers are real, then like, you want your dad to be indicted. He should go to jail.
Right.
So which is it?
Yeah.
You know?
It's, I don't know. Logan kind of pisses me off this episode, like I said, because it seems like he's putting in minimal effort to making this work, where I'm like, I feel like this matters more to you than it does Kendall. And Kendall is like trying his most to like save the situation.
Listen, they had Logan's ass walk all the way out to that fucking thing.
Yeah.
The man is not well. It's Sunny.
Yeah.
It's a
shit move.
It's one of the best scenes in the show. Can we skip right to it?
Let's just
like,
skip right
kind
to
of
it.
Nothing happens.
Nothing really happens. Nothing is said. Mm-hmm. He leaves them alone a few times, and then they just like look at each other.
Right.
And the first thing Logan says to Kendall in private, technically, is just, what? And then Kendall's like, I don't know.
So good. I cackled.
So funny. But yeah, there's the scene where they're walking back. It's
so
cut
good.
So I forgot like how much they drag it out. I always thought it kind of happened sort of fast, but like they really drag out his,
and there's this like clear, so you know, Josh is walking ahead of them, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
they're each telling the other one like, you lost, you know.
Right.
Like Logan's like, I have Greg on my side, I have this on my side, I have, you know, we're cooperating with the DOJ.
We have the tattoo man.
Which
we haven't even talked about, but
it doesn't even matter. We got Roman found that there's a homeless guy that they asked to get Kendall's initials tattooed on his head.
Yeah. And then they bring him in. He got the tattoos removed, but Logan's like, for $1 million, I'll pay you to like get me a picture of this.
Right.
And it eventually works, but he doesn't really do anything with it.
We have the tattoo man.
Yeah.
And then Kendall conversely is like, well, you're crumbling, you're decaying, like you're 600 years old and you can't even walk.
Yeah.
And there's this moment, I think it's maybe before like Kendall starts laying into him. Logan has just said to Kendall, you know, all this mean shit. And then he starts like sort of huffing and puffing, and like Kendall like stares at him and looks at him and then starts like provoking him. And it's so, so interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what the fuck was he thinking in this moment? Like,
yeah.
He decides to go for it, and he decides to just like, I'm like using my hands. Like he decides. And it's like, either he doesn't realize how fragile his dad is, or he doesn't care, or it's a bajillion things, but like it all happens in this like 5-second clip when they're outside, and it's like, so it's delicious.
Well, he kind of, it is like, he forgets that he's his dad for a second and like looks at him as like this threat, because I mean, he kind of is. Logan just basically makes fun of him and like teases him with the fact that like, you have nothing, like admit that you lost. And that like cuts deep for Kendall and is like, well, this man is like, I don't give a fuck. I'll just kill the guy, basically.
Which is such a crazy difference from season one, where like the sight of seeing Logan like eating a hamburger can make Kendall melt and like regret his decision to want to kill his dad.
Yeah.
Now he's been through so much with his dad that like quite literally seeing him die like doesn't really get to him. He doesn't even hand him water.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That hurt it's so sad when Logan shows his like weak side and is like, can I get a water? And Kendall's like, why don't you ask your iPhone or something like that? And I was like, fuck you, man.
Yeah, he's like,
your father.
Literally crying and throwing up, and you are doing nothing.
At the end of the day, it's Josh's fault for not getting a cart. But you know, you can make the argument this is all like a test for Josh to like see how they would handle this long walk and see if how much they actually do love each other in a serious situation.
I don't think Josh thought that far, but I think it was very clear during the situation that Josh was like, oh, now it's a test and now you failed, you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I
don't know. It's pathetic.
Devastating.
Yeah. He's a lion in a meadow.
it really shows like how far gone Kendall is from season one Kendall.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
people change. I think I read an interview with, maybe it was Jesse Armstrong or whatever, that was like, I wouldn't consider anything in the show like character growth. I don't consider anything as like growth. I think people just like change over time and respond differently to situations. So like, it's crazy now with Kendall's whole context of seasons one and two that now in season three, he's not even going to help his dad like dying and crying and throwing up in the desert.
Yeah.
Ugh.
After no talking the entire episode, that mind you, that is like this conversation as they're walking is the first time they're having an actual conversation. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's things are just so much different than before. Mm. Yeah, it's kind of brutal. Anyway, so... They don't realize it then, but when Kendall is on the plane, he gets a call from Roman, mm-hmm. who is like, fuck you, man.
You fucked it.
Yeah, he's like, just because you wouldn't hand him like a, I forget what he says.
A nicely timed Evian.
Yeah.
You fucked the company because you wouldn't hand him a nicely timed Evian.
Goodbye and fuck you, or something like that. And yeah, Kendall looks defeated, and then they land, and there's a great shot. It's one of those like convenient TV shots, but like,
right.
Josh goes into the hug with Stewie, and you're
like, Stewie like limply like extends his hand, and he's got this free fucking outfit on. God,
I love Stewie so much.
Give me more Stewie.
And I love that it's like this is like his first time he shows up this season is just like outside the window and
just standing all like homosexually near a helicopter. Yeah.
It's a devastating blow for Kendall, because it's like, dude, it's similar to the Shiv thing. It's like you let this like immature, like built up rage get to the company. And it's like, what was really accomplished?
Yeah.
And it's like that goes back to what Jerry has a great. Ah, dude. Yeah. Jerry has a great line because Roman comes to her with the tattooed man,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, look at this, isn't this great? And Jerry's like, no, let's not do that. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you always have to think about how something personally, like,
how does it serve my interests?
Yes, how does it serve your interests? And it's like, that's a great point, because Shiv's letter, that does not serve her interests at all. Mm-hmm. Kendall fucking over his dad doesn't really serve anyone's interests. It's like, and this tattoo man, it would be like another example of that. And mm-hmm. she's kind of like, you kids are idiots.
Like, you are dumb.
This doesn't accomplish anything, just burning each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom putting himself in front of Logan benefits his interests at the end of the day.
Yo yo.
it's yeah, that's why I love that Jerry line so much, because it's like she knows what she's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone that's not in this family knows what they're talking about, basically. And yeah, that's how the episode ends.
Being a Nepo baby is so hard.
It's
who won, who lost?
I did have Tom losing a little bit. Even though, I mean, no spoilers, containing it to this episode.
Right.
He lost, yeah. It's like he's terminal Tom. Shiv does not give a shit about him. It's like Kendall season two, like we said. He's no one to come to.
I think Kendall lost. Kendall was the loser for me.
It's a pretty big Kendall loss, yeah.
It's like, the one thing Kendall has always had is his humanity and his willingness to, like, with the kid in the car, dive in twice to try and save the kid.
Yeah.
His dad is dying in front of him, and he did nothing.
Right. He looks like an asshole.
Yeah. Like, I think it's a pretty, honestly, this is kind of like a low for Kendall for me.
Yeah.
Lower than most anything else in the show.
Interesting. I don't know. I mean, that's strong, but.
Listen. I have a hard time pointing to any other thing in which Kendall is acting out of childishness, malice, like cowardice, entirely in his own like self-interest, quote unquote, which is just to like exert rage on his dad.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think it's kind of a low for him morally.
Right. No, I could get down with that.
And also like he did also fuck the business. Like,
he fucked the business.
So it is kind of both.
I mean, isn't he trying to fuck the business a little bit at the end of the day?
Well, no, because if they lose the shareholder vote, then he loses
this is all pointless, yeah.
He loses all of his money, you know? Like,
right, you're right.
Then he no longer can just, like, be a rich kid.
Yeah.
He has no job.
Right.
Like,
Shiv kind of lost, too, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. Kendall might be bottom.
Who the fuck won? Stewie?
So I was going to say Stewie.
Yeah.
Tattoo Man got paid $1 million and they don't have to go through with it.
Right. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, I put winner Josh. I don't think Josh entirely won. I would put Josh Stewie can, above Josh.
Josh can do whatever he wants. You
yeah,
know, like,
Josh is fine. Josh's daughter won. She's not sick after all.
She got to go swimming.
She's having a fun time in the pool.
She did a flip into the pool.
Yeah. I guess it's I would say Stewie won.
Yeah, he didn't really do anything, though. He just homosexually showed up.
He showed up all gay. That's what he won.
Again, not like by virtue of not losing, Roman has kind of won because he keeps like getting good advice from Jerry.
Right, right.
And not fucking anything up too bad.
Yeah.
Oh, also, maybe this is last episode. Oh, it was last episode where
Jerry's dating or
oh yeah, Jerry is dating.
Jerry is dating.
Someone who's ex DOJ, which is so funny of her.
Right.
I was gonna say the scene where Logan calls Roman a gay slur. Yeah. I'm dating a man now, so I'm not allowed to say it anymore.
Yeah, but he does say that. And Roman is, like, caught off guard. This is one of those weird moments where Roman's like, whoa. And I'm like, Roman doesn't give a fuck. That character would say it in, like, a heartbeat. I'm like, yeah, it was a bad word, but Roman would say it.
Yeah. Roman should say it. They should let him say
they
it.
Should
season four.
Let Roman say it. Anyway. Anything to plug?
Oh, I'm going to tweet this. Or not tweet this. I'm going to put it on our Instagram. Here's the thing. If you have a ticket to Suck Off Live and you are not going, please get a refund on the ticket.
Yeah.
It is not showing a support by like reserving a seat because then like you're taking up a seat from somebody else.
Yeah.
This just happened. There was like a TikTok famous guy who came to Lincoln Lodge and a bunch of people like bought tickets just to like support him.
Mm.
But then like a lot of people didn't show up because like they were just supporting him with the ticket.
Yeah.
So if you're not going, get a refund.
Oh no.
If
no one shows up to our show. That...
I know. That'd be deeply horrible. people are going to go.
It'd be funny, but
it'd be pretty it'd be funny pretty... to do it for
I'll
nobody.
I'll take it. That's crazy. Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to put it on Instagram though. Like if you're not going, get a refund. Even if like you were thinking about going and now you can't anymore, like still get a refund. I know it's a free ticket, but like you have to request a refund. That way like the ticket can go back on sale.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like through Eventbrite, whatever.
Good to know. Good to know. My thing I'm going to plug is my DJ set.
Bang, bang.
Beloved Radio, April 2nd.
Yeah, yo.
7 to 8, I'll be on the air.
All right, I got to go gaslight.
Okay. Thanks for listening, and as always,
suck off!